International condemnation of North Korea continues following that country's latest and most powerful nuclear test. And the Trump administration is ramping up pressure on the country, it's applying on countries such as China and South Korea, countries that the president and others are saying are not doing enough to stop North Korea's nuclear program. Nikki Haley, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, spoke at today's emergency session of the U.N. Security Council.
The United States will look at every country that does business with North Korea as a country that is giving aid to their reckless and dangerous nuclear intentions.
And today's meeting comes a week after the Security Council met in another emergency session following Kim Jong-un's launching of an intercontinental missile that flew over Japan. Jim Walsh is here and now security analyst. He's also with the Security Studies Program at MIT, and he's in the studio with us. Hi there, Jim.
Happy Labor Day, Meghna. Labor Day to those who must work on Labor Day.
Well, I'm falling all over my words here in just getting to your introduction, Jim, in part because it's a little difficult to believe we're at the point we are at with North Korea. I mean, tell us about this latest nuclear test. What do we know about specifically what happened?
Well, I think most analysts were expecting a nuclear test at some point. We talked about – I think you and I talked about this back in April and May when there were major events in North Korea, Kim Il-sung's birthday, for example. And so the fact that they didn't test for a while made some of us think, well, maybe there's some restraint. Maybe they're signaling restraint. But I think we expected, they tested a nuclear device last September. It's September. They've been testing missiles on and on. So I guess we were surprised by the timing, not the test itself. The test itself was significant insofar as it's clear that the North Koreans have made progress in their nuclear program. The yield from this test was far larger than previous yields and certainly puts them, gives them an ability, if they build a weapon and put it on a delivery platform, of killing a city. A bomb that big is a city killer.
Right. I mean, we're seeing that it registered an earthquake larger than 6.0 on the Richter scale. I mean, hydrogen bomb is what they're saying.
Well, there are yields so high that they can only be a hydrogen bomb, but that one is in a range where it could be a hydrogen bomb, it could be a boosted fission weapon, it could be a really big conventional atomic weapon, which is a strange phrase to use. But, it doesn't matter. My colleagues will probably debate the finer points of this, but the bottom line is, if you have a bomb that can kill a city, you have a bomb that kills a city, regardless of what type it is or what its label is.
So, is this latest test a game changer, though, in terms of how the U.S. and the international community may respond? I mean, sanctions clearly have not worked.
Well, I would say it's not a game changer, yes and no. This is their sixth nuclear test. It's not their first. It's not their second. It's their sixth. And while it's big, the fundamentals haven't changed. They had a nuclear capability before they tested. They have one the day after. I think it is a political and psychological threshold. I worry about, in some ways, playing into Kim Jong-un's hands that the president would criticize the president of our major ally, right? People say we can't solve this problem without China. Sure, but we cannot solve this problem without our ally, South Korea. And what does North Korea want to see? They want to see divisions between the U.S. and its ally, South Korea. So when the president insults and calls President Moon an appeaser, that is not good.
Okay, so tell me more. Do you think that that's an insurmountable turn or change that the president has done by his actions or his words against South Korea? Or are people sort of taking a deeper measure of the moment and saying, well, you know what? This may be a time where the president of the United States needs to have sort of a line in the sand, for lack of a better term, in terms of how allies can influence the situation on the peninsula.
I don't think there's anything good about this. I don't know of any foreign policy professional who thinks it's a good idea to insult your allies, the allies you need. If a war is fought, it'll be fought in Seoul, not Seattle. We have a joint U.S. command with South Korea, so sort of an unusual arrangement where we are partners, equal partners, and where we have 30,000 troops there who are vulnerable and their families to attack if there's a war. So, and I would say you asked whether it fundamentally changes things. Probably not. Hopefully this is chafe and it all blows over. But let's remember, we have no ambassador. The president has not appointed an ambassador to South Korea. He did not call the South Korean president until today. He called the president of Japan twice over the weekend. He insulted him by calling him an appeaser, and this follows the fury and fire comment, which forced the South Korean president to go on national television to say, hey, there's no war unless South Koreans get a vote on this. I think I worry about the steady drip and accumulation and what that does to the U.S.-South Korean alliance.
Jim, are we closer to war?
Well, Meghna, as I've written, wars don't happen all the time. They don't happen with any frequency, really. You know, they're big events. They're low probability, big consequence events. So on any given day, the chance of war is small. But I think the chances of inadvertent war, war by mistake, war by bluster, I think those have increased. And so while overall the risk is low, it's higher than it was. And the consequences would be unimaginable.
So what do we do? What does the international community do? What does the United States do to, I mean, this now seems like a low but critical bar to avoid inadvertent military conflict?
Well, and I think that's the key here. I don't think North Korea is going to purposely start a war it's going to lose. We get to war by mistake. So, number one, let's improve communications. Hold your friends close and your enemies closer. We should be talking to the North Koreans. We talked to the Soviets when they had 20,000 nuclear weapons pointed at American cities. Why? Because it was in our national self-interest to do so, to make sure that we had clear lines of communication and people didn't mess up. Related to that, how about we get an ambassador? How about we get a U.S. representative in South Korea who can represent the president during these incredibly tense and difficult times. You know, and on China, I think the president threw China a bone on this. He said that they were trying to help. But I think threatening to cut off trade with everyone, you know, that's not going anywhere. So the more you say things that really aren't true, the more you have bluff and bluster, that can lead to the confusion that leads to bad outcomes. So I'd say let's be a little more temperate and prudent. Let's reach out and communicate better with our allies. And let's try to talk to this adversary so they don't do anything stupid.
Jim Walsh is Here and Now's security analyst. He's with the Security Studies Program at MIT. Jim, thank you as always.
Thank you.